Absolute Broadcasting, its staff, or advertisers. It's time for Israel is Real. Two Israelis putting a human face on all things Israel. Rahel and Sonia focus on life in modern 21st century Israel, telling the stories of ordinary people living in, loving, and in support of an extraordinary land. Israel is Real is a community-supported program featuring interviews with local, national, and international celebrities, personal life stories, and call-ins. Learn a new Hebrew word every week. Israel is Real. Every Friday on 1590 WSMN, Nashua's News and Talk. And now, your hosts, Rahel and Sonia.
Good morning, we're Rachel
and Sonia,
and this is Israel is Real, the free voice for Israel. Boker tov lekol ha'mazinim.
Tzohoraim tovim b'Yisrael.
From WSMN 1590, Nashua's News and Talk. Today we are extremely thrilled to know that we are also broadcasting on paltalknewsnetwork.com. So if you're listening to Paltalk, feel free to type in a question or a comment, and if we have the time, if time allows for it, we will try to address it. So, we want to say one very important thing, that right now we have a very urgent need for your support. We are volunteering here, and we stay on the air because of you, for all that you believe in, for all that you love, and we are here to spread the good word about Israel, but only because you want us to do that. So we do need your money to stay on the air and to continue to bring you the quality program that we have been bringing you. So please, please, we urge you to donate. You can find out how at www.israelisrealnh.com, israelisrealnh.com. You can email us at israelisrael1590@gmail.com, israelisrael1590@gmail.com, and you can also send a check to Absolute Broadcasting, Post Office Box 236, Milford, New Hampshire, 03055. That's Absolute Broadcasting, P.O.B. 236, Milford, New Hampshire, 03055. And one of our loyal sponsors, and we are eternally grateful for, is Vern Main. Vern Main is a patent and trademark law firm, Vern Main & Associates. It's a local firm with a global practice, and it's pleased to announce its new office location at 547 Amherst Street in Nashua and on the web at www.vernmain.com. For professional legal counseling on all intellectual property matters, contact the legal specialists at Vern Main & Associates at their offices on 547 Amherst Street in Nashua or on the web at vernmain.com. That's www.vernmaine.com. We'd also like to let you know that this week we attended a wonderful conference. Now more than ever, Israel finds itself or herself in a battle for fair treatment on the world stage. CAMRA, which is the Committee for Accuracy in Middle East Reporting in America, has just concluded a two-day conference. It was an incredible two-day conference at Boston University that brought together international experts to articulate the enormous challenges of the moment and also to formulate constructive action. This week, you get another chance to attend a similar conference, which is War by Other Means, the Global Campaign to Delegitimize Israel, on Sunday, October 17th, from 11:30 in the morning to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Sorry. This will take place at Temple Israel on 200 State Street in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. 200 State Street in Portsmouth, New Hampshire at Temple Israel. The presenters will be Stephen Stotsky, a senior research analyst with CAMRA, Jerry White, a journalist, academic broadcaster and economist, and Ari Lexenberg, who we've also had already on our show. He is the director of the Israel Action Center of Jewish Community Relations Council of Greater Boston. And the talk will be moderated by Maury Stettner, who is the author of five books, who also writes a weekly column for Investors Business Daily. So you have a chance to experience what we experienced this weekend. And again, at Temple Israel, 200 State Street in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. If you want to attend, please RSVP by email to seacoastuja@gmail.com. That's seacoastuja@gmail.com. seacoastuja@gmail.com. The War by Other Means, the global campaign to delegitimize Israel. Boker Tov, finally, Sonia.
Boker Tov. So, our Hebrew word today will be aluf. And aluf, the root of aluf, it's coming from elef. Elef in Hebrew means thousand. But aluf, it's actually taken from the Bible, where it was a rank of nobility among the Edomites, those being the ancient Judea's neighbors and often enemies, and they used to live in south. This word, it comes, like I said, from an archaic root, means thousand, which I said, it's aluf. And today is taken in order to explain that we have a command on 1,000 people. So today
we are saying this because we have waiting for us on the telephone is Lieutenant Colonel Alan West. He is USA Army retired. He was born and raised in Atlanta, Georgia, and is the third of four generations of military servicemen in his family. He received degrees from the University of Tennessee and Kansas State University, both in political science, and he holds a Master of Military Arts and Sciences from the U.S. Army Command and General Staff Officer College in Political Theory and Military Operations. And Alan West is a United States candidate for Congress who believes that education is the great equalizer. With a good education, any child in America can live his dream. He knows that for our children to live their dreams, they need to be safe. So he has served also in several combat zones, in Operation Desert Storm, in Operation Iraqi Freedom, and in Afghanistan. So he has a lot of Middle East experience. So today, we are extremely honored to have Alan West today as our guest. We've invited him on our program today to speak about his love of and his connections to the Jewish State of Israel. Good morning, Mr. West.
Good morning, Rahal, and good morning, Sonia. How are you all doing up there?
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to have you.
It's a great honor to be with you.
It's a little bit rainy here.
Yeah, I hear you guys get a little northeaster up that way.
Yeah. We wanted to know, first of all, maybe if you could just start out telling our listeners who you are. We gave a nice introduction, I hope, but why don't you talk for yourself and what you're doing today?
Well, absolutely. Well, I'm speaking with you all first and foremost. We've got a couple other events that we have to go and attend. But my life is a very simple life. As you said, I was born and raised in Atlanta, Georgia. I had a couple of great parents and come from a family of military service. My father served in World War II. My older brother in Vietnam. I did 22 years active duty service in the United States Army myself. I retired in 2004, and I have a young nephew who is now, I think, on his eighth or ninth year, following my footsteps as a paratrooper and also an artillery officer. And he's already done two tours of duty in Afghanistan. I've been married 21 years, coming up in December of this year. My wife, Angela, holds an MBA and a PhD. She's a financial advisor. And we have two daughters. The oldest is Aubrey, who is a senior in high school. And the youngest is an eighth grader. She's 13, and that's Austin. And that's pretty much a wrap-up of our family.
Wow. I would say in Hebrew, in Israel, we would say kol ha-kavod.
Or ken irbu. Sir, you speak passionately about Israel. Would you please tell us about this passion and love for Israel and the Jewish people?
Well, I think that, you know, I'm a Christian, and I think that there is an inextricable tie between my faith and the Jewish people. And, you know, growing up in the South, of course, as a young kid, when it came around to Sundays, after you wake up, do your morning chores, and have breakfast with the family, off you go to Sunday school. And of course, in Sunday school, you learn all the great lessons and the stories of the Old Testament, and you learn the history of the Jewish people and the greatness of, you know, David, the wisdom of Solomon, and, of course, you know, the person that I put my trust and faith in with Jesus. And so, you know, last year, December, when I had the opportunity to go to Israel, I was invited there on a counterterrorism tour and the opportunity to speak as well there. It was just one of the incredible spiritual experiences of my life to finally be able to walk the Holy Land and walk those grounds. And especially what I love more than anything else was to stand there atop of Masada, which as a military historian means so very much to me. But I also thought about, you know, how when this country was being started, and Patrick Henry's great words of give me liberty or give me death, and how that directly related to what Eleazar and the other Jewish patriots did there at Masada. So Israel is a part of me, it's a part of who I am, and I want to make sure that Israel remains a safe and sovereign state so that my wife and my two daughters get to have the exact same experience that I had.
Excellent. I was just thinking as you were saying all that, you know, I never thought of it from a military perspective. I mean, we know it was a military attack and all of that, but as you say it, I mean, from your perspective, it's really taking on a different meaning.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I remember reading about it and, of course, studying it. And when you stand up there, you can close your eyes and visualize the Roman siege camps and, you know, how the Romans, who had the greatest engineering facilities for military at that time, were able to build that ramp to get to Masada. And then the decision that was made was just, you know, one of the absolute most incredible and most honorable decisions, because they would rather, you know, have died free than live as slaves. And I think that's an important part that we must understand today as we face the critical challenges that we see facing Israel.
Yeah, definitely.
We saw a video clip where you cited some verses from the Torah, the Jewish Bible. What you explain extremely well what is your interest in Israel and then the Jewish nation. And you also explain how you came to this. However, I thought that your knowledge is a very deeply knowledge. And I know that Sunday school, it's important, but I don't think that you have so much time.
Well, I think the most important thing is, you know, with all the rhetoric that you hear, you know, nowadays, especially coming out of Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, that, you know, the state of Israel was just started, you know, post the Holocaust, which he even continues to deny, back in 1948. So I think that's why it's important to go back and understand the history of Israel, to go back, and the verses that I read came from, you know, the Old Testament, Numbers chapter 34, and it does relate back to the Torah that establishes the boundaries of Israel. So here is a nation, here is a state that has been in existence for, you know, over 5,000 years, that has a historic capital, which is Jerusalem. So when you understand that history, when you understand the fact that, you know, after conquering the region of Judea in 73 A.D., you know, Roman Emperor Hadrian was the one that sent out a decree that changed the name from Judea to Palestine. So it has nothing to do with the arguments that are being presented today about Arab people. Because if you want to truly restore the land to the Palestinians, then it does go back to the Jewish people, because that's where that term emanated from. So I think that when you understand the quote, "Those who fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it," we have to go back and study history. You have to understand those trends and those cycles so that we can refute the assertions of dictators, theocrats, autocrats, and despots, which is what you see surrounding Israel right now. And look at what just happened this past week when Mahmoud Ahmadinejad went to Lebanon, and he stood there in Lebanon, and of course he was very widely welcomed with, you know, cheering crowds. Of course, Hezbollah pretty much runs that country. But he made, once again, his statement and declaration that the Zionist nation would be destroyed and the Jewish people would be killed. So I see right now happening if you close your eyes and think about the mid to late 1930s, I don't want to see another Sir Neville Chamberlain moment happen in our world.
Neither do we. I want to just talk about history for a second, because some would discount biblical history. And I think that it's, you know, it's very important. Some would say this is not historical fact. It's just some kind of fallacy, you know, some kind of made up stuff or some kind of, you know, weird belief system. But I think that the history speaks for itself, and that it's very important. I think today we do, much of the misunderstandings are coming from the fact that people don't know the history.
And that enables you to be very easily manipulated when you don't understand history, because history is immutable. It is based upon fact and not hyperbole or conjecture. So I think that one of the critical things we have to have when you start talking about the Middle East relations is people that understand the history, not just the history of the Jewish people, the Jewish nation, but also the history of Islam and the history of confrontation and conquest against not just in that region, the Levant, but also against Western civilization.
Yeah, and I wanted to mention also about Ahmadinejad being in Lebanon, that I did hear also another side of it, the people of Lebanon, who are a little bit afraid that history is going to repeat itself again and they're going to lose their country.
Well, yeah, they're terribly afraid. I mean, they saw the horrendous civil war that they went through. Look, Lebanon used to be a jewel of the Middle East. I mean, Beirut was called the Paris of the Middle East. And so, you know, people are slowly but surely seeing all of these different regions and areas, you know, falling under this radical Islamist and terrorist control, because that's what Hezbollah is. And I think the biggest concern I read in the article is that now Iran is looking to annex Lebanon. And we know that they have, you know, huge influence in the Gaza Strip with Hamas. And we know that they're pursuing a nuclear device. And when you understand the old MAD theory, the mutual assured destruction theory that existed between the United States and the Soviet Union, that theory is not possible.
Not
when you're talking about Iran, it is not rational. It's not logical, and that they're not going to succumb to that theory.
Right. I would say that maybe Iran is trying to officially annex Lebanon as well as some of the other places. They've already kind of unofficially annexed them for a while now. But
absolutely, through their proxy, which is Hezbollah. So I think that, you know, once again, you think about going back into the 70s, mid to late 70s, where we were confronted with a very critical decision that I think has led us to where we are. You know, for the Carter administration, you had the Shah of Iran or the Ayatollah. Shah of Iran may not have been the best possible person, but at least Iran was westernized. There were freedoms. They saw themselves as Persians first and foremost, not radical Islamists. But when we allowed the Ayatollahs and that Islamic revolution to take over in that country, I mean, it has led to, you know, now we have the number one sponsor of statist terrorism is Iran, all because we did not have the strategic vision that we needed to have back in the late 70s.
Speaking about historical error, if you want.
Yeah, I think that we need together the historical knowledge and the, as you say, the vision to look ahead and know what we're getting into if we forget that. I know that your time is tight, and I know you're going to be speaking with a lot of people today, and we've got about 5 more minutes with you. So I'd like to, if you don't mind, direct the conversation back to Israel a little bit about what do you think, if there are any at all, similarities between Israel and the USA? If you could speak about that.
Well, I think that when you look at the biomedical field, you look at the fact of investment, ingenuity, and innovation, those are definitely common bonds. The common bond, of course, you know, we were the first to recognize the State of Israel within 11 minutes back in May of 1948. I think that we have a commonality as far as our Judeo-Christian heritage and also our governing process and principles. I mean, Israel is truly the only democratic state there, and it is our best ally in the Middle East. But I think that right now we have a chill in the relationship between America and Israel, and I think that that is causing some economic disturbances. I think it's causing national security disturbances. And, you know, the thing that was really upsetting to me was after the Gaza flotilla episode, that we saw for the first time. The United States came out and condemned Israel when we know in the United Nations, you know, 95-96% of the time, United Nations votes against two countries, and that's America and Israel. So we've got to increase those and strengthen those bonds at this time, because as I tell people, the world is a forest full of wolves, and we cannot be led by sheep.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's important. A lot of people say that Israel is on the front lines of democracy.
Yeah, it absolutely is. It absolutely is. And the thing is, if Israel is lost, I mean, what does that say about us and our commitment? Then, of course, you know, the target is squarely placed on us as the next foe for them to try to take down.
Unfortunately, yeah, this is the direction.
Yeah.
This is... We want to thank you. I know that, you know, you, as we said, your time is tight. And maybe you could tell listeners who are interested in learning more about you, hearing more about what you have to say, and you are, again, the candidate for Congress. We wish you really good luck in that election coming up soon. And how can people find out more about you?
Absolutely. We're running down here in South Florida in Broward and Palm Beach counties, U.S. Congressional District 22. You can go to www.gowest2010.com. You can also sign up to get our email blasts and notices. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and also go to YouTube, and you'll see many different videos of our speaking engagements.
Oh, yeah. We loved that one when you really quoted the verses from Numbers 22 and 23. We wish we had the time for you to do that again. Are you able to give us in about a minute something about that?
Well, I can just tell you that I think that, once again, that was a pro-Israel rally that was happening downtown Fort Lauderdale, Broward, and 3rd Avenue. And I was asked to speak there for about 5 to 6 minutes. And I think it was very important to establish the fact that, you know, a long time ago, there was a state that was established called Israel, and these were the boundaries. And we need to make sure that we understand that that state must continue to exist, and it is a sovereign state. And the enemies that would threaten its existence are truly the enemies of the United States of America and the enemies of all freedom-loving people.
Kol hakavod, as we say again. So that's,
thank you.
That's gowest2010.com?
That is correct.
Okay, so Alan West?
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
And Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom and
succeed. Lashana Tova Tikka Table.
Ah, amen.
Oh, amen. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All the best.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is WSMN 1590, Nashua's News and Talk, also coming to you today on paltalknewsnetwork.com. And this is Israel is Real. We'll be cutting out for a break, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
WSMN
and WSMNradio.com.
The Telegraph, keeping you connected to your community for pennies a day.
When news breaks,
The Telegraph is there.
And we're back on WSMN 1590, Nashua's News and Talk. This is Israel, Israel, the free voice for Israel. And again, we'd like to thank our guest, Alan West, who is a candidate for Congress. We're really thrilled to have him on our show today. And again, Alan West, if you're listening, we wish you all the best. And good luck in the coming elections. Sonia.
Yes, Vision. Did you know that Vision is an organization that educates our community about the little country of Israel? Did you know that it was a continuous and that still a continuous Jewish presence in the land of Israel? Jews are the indigenous to Israel and have maintained a continuous presence for over 3,000 years, according to archaeological and historical evidence and biblical text. For example, we get a fragment of the 6th century, a Byzantine period, piece of mosaic depicting King David playing the lyre found in an ancient synagogue of Gaza. And this piece of mosaic is in Israel Museum.
Correct.
In Jerusalem.
And you know, Lieutenant...
Yeah, not Lieutenant.
Sorry.
Not yet.
Right. I keep... but Alan West, no, Alan West had mentioned about, you know, the historical borders that are mentioned in the Torah, in the Jewish Bible, and in the Old Testament, as it's known. And if you read those, Numbers 22 to 23, which we won't do right now, but if you have the chance to go and take a look, pull out your Bible, people, and take a look. You know, the one that's over there in the hotels? No. But pull out your Bible and take a look, and you'll find that what exists today as the state of Israel is very different from what might have been.
You want to say a very little tiny bit from what the Bible means.
Right.
And from what the Balfour Declaration means, and about what Paris Treaty says, mm-hmm. and about what San Remo Treaty says. This mm-hmm. is what you try to say.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm giving
the entire the entire borders of this. And even so, Israel is demanded time after time and again to make concessions.
Right.
And nobody is asking themselves if the other side is making any concession, and if so, what type of concessions?
That truly surprises me, Sonia, when you are talking about, for example, every time the peace process comes around, and I will make mention of this, that you know, my daughter who lives in Israel was on a bus that was pelleted with not stones, but rocks. And this comes about every time there is a peace process. The famous peace process is being enacted, and peace is trying to be made. Someone comes out, and the rocks get thrown. The violence becomes even more. It escalates. And what do we do about this? And everybody comes down on Israel and says, "Israel, stop doing what you're doing."
You would say that Israel is the most giant country in the entire world. The most, like, at least, you know. But when you are looking in the map, I bet that not everyone is capable to find Israel in the map.
Yes, that's very true, because it's so tiny that you can hardly even write the name Israel in there.
Exactly. So... that's it. Okay.
Go ahead.
I want to mention something.
Please.
Lieutenant Colonel West mentioned UN. And in time that he mentioned UN, I want to mention that UN is founded by United States. Mm-hmm. And the idea of having UN came after the Second World War II. Yeah. And the idea was that we do not want to have again any type of Holocaust like the Jewish people have. One of the establishers of UN was René Cassin, and the other one was Eleanor Roosevelt.
Eleanor Roosevelt.
If you'll read what they wrote, you will find out that it's nothing to do with the UN that we have today. Because, like I said, the USA, it's founding 22% from the funds that UN needs. But UN, being an organization, was hijacked by the radical, the extremist, the despotic, the most anti-democratic movements in the world. And this make people like me and like you to dislocate ourselves from thinking that we want to be part of this. And this is something that UN should and must rethink if they would like to continue.
Well, I would like to add that I'm not sure how many people realize how how the UN has changed the content, the goals, the messages, and the what they're striving for today is so very different than when it was stated. The people, the countries that are sitting there are so very different. And we are basing, when we look towards the UN, we're thinking that it's still running the same way. But it is no longer. And the question is, when are people going to look at this and question it and say, is this still an authority that we should be looking towards and making decisions in the world today?
I think that it will come only when country after country after country will decide that they are getting out and they will reestablish something much more logical, much more
fair.
Moral. I don't want fair. I want moral.
Moral.
With the real values. That in these values, you and me and everywhere, every one of us is capable to find himself. That's it.
Okay. Baruch Hashem.
Okay.
I'm not sure, because we're a little bit on a different kind of schedule. I think we are taking a break right now.
Okay.
And we'll be back. WSMN 1590, Nashua's News and Talk, and this is Israel is Real.
This land was made for you and me.
1590 WSMN
and WSMNradio.com.
WSMN is proud of our local programming, and you may have noticed the lineup of shows is growing. So we're looking for even more hosts in the Nashua area who want to own their own show. Please contact Mike Wynn at 880-9001. Hear the success stories. Learn how you can grow your business using our radio broadcasting and new media resources. Call Mike Wynn today, 603-880-9001. WSMN and WSMNradio.com.
40 kilometers northwest of Kandahar, Afghanistan, at a remote desert military base, American soldiers are playing video games. There are cold drinks, coffee, snacks, and comfy chairs. There's an internet connection, a putting green, frisbees, and footballs. There are DVDs, books, games, and guitars. There are toothbrushes, shaving cream, body wipes, and shampoo. This is today's USO. It's the USO to Go program, with all of the above and more, selected and ordered directly by the troops themselves, packaged and shipped anywhere in the world. Today, it's just one of the ways the USO supports our troops, lifts their spirits, and serves as the link between them and the American people. People just like you. To donate and to find out more about the USO, visit us at USO.org. The USO. Until everyone comes home.
Where can the skills you learn with ham radio take you? Amateur radio, often called ham radio, is the place where today's communications engineers got their hands-on training. With its analog, digital, audio, and video capabilities, modern hams use computers and radios in new ways. It's not just your grandfather's radio anymore. It can take you around the world or into a whole new career. Learn more about modern ham radio at WeDoThatRadio.org.
You're receiving Downtown Nashua's other free wireless service. No computer required. We're 1590 WSMN.
Thank you.
If tomorrow all the
things oh, I was didn't want to interrupt this beautiful song. Yeah, let's let it play for a minute. Start again with just my children and my wife. Well, it's playing. By the way, we're back on WSMN 1590 Nashua's News and Talk, where Israel is real, the free voice for Israel. I'm Rachel.
And Sonia.
And while this is playing, I want to just say that, you know, recently Sonia became a United States citizen. Mazal tov. And I was at the swearing-in ceremony, and they played this song. And we all stood up and we sang and we felt very proud. we were proud to be Americans, but we were proud that Sonia had now and her family had now become American citizens the legal way. And it was a very exciting thing to witness.
Yep.
Here we go.
God bless the USA.
As you can see in Alan West's honor.
Thank you.
In honor of Alan West being our guest today, we are feeling very patriotic, both towards America and towards Israel, as we always are. And I want to also mention that we are broadcasting today on PalTalkNewsNetwork.com, which is something new for us. It's just starting today. So those of you who are listening and watching, you can watch on webcam. Hi. How you doing? We know that you are commenting, and we really appreciate that. And once we get the hang of this, we will be also probably responding to your comments. Right now, it's all very new, and we're not quite versed in it. But we do appreciate the fact that you are there. So welcome. Welcome to Israel is Real.
And thank you.
And thank you
listening.
For being there. I think you had something to say about a very, very interesting person.
Oh, did you know Rachel Music? If you don't know her, you should know her. Rachel is spreading beautiful music across the globe. To hear Rachel's unique sound and to book Rachel to perform for you live, go to www.rachelmusic.com, which is www.rachelmusic.com, www.rachelmusic.com. And if you don't know who is Rachel, she is the co-host.
That's me, and I will take a moment to just give myself a plug. I will be performing this Sunday at the Jam Factory in Manchester, New Hampshire on Elm Street, so that's jamfactorynewhampshire.com if you want to find out how to get there. I'll be performing at 3 o'clock. In the
Good.
Afternoon on Sunday, this coming Sunday.
It's going to rain?
I hope not, but if it does, it's a good place to be. You can hear some beautiful music. Sonia, let's talk a little bit about, as we mentioned earlier, we were at the CAMRA conference. The CAMRA is the Committee for Accuracy in Middle East Reporting in America, and they had a wealth of speakers who I highly... It was quite an honor to be able to listen to and hear them, people like Alan Dershowitz, Daniel Pipes, Andrea Levin, Anne Bayefsky, Melanie Phillips, Erwin Kuttler.
Mark Stein,
who some have already been on our show, and some we are going to also include in our show in the future. In fact, Daniel Pipes will be here the first Friday of November.
Right.
And so we hope you'll tune in for those wonderful interviews. But while we're talking about reporting, we want to talk a little bit about what is journalism?
I think that the question should be, what is the job of a journalist?
What is the job of a journalist?
Once, when I was very little and very young and very beautiful, and today it's only to stay beautiful, journalism was a job that you are writing the facts that you are seeing, that you are hearing, that you research. And usually journalists have been people with a huge and enormous academical preparation, mm-hmm. with a great curiosity and history. And they've been very cautious in what they are doing.
They're cautious, and they would take a lot of time to investigate an issue, right, an event, right, or anything before reporting it.
Yes.
Times have changed.
Times are changed, and we have, instead of one newspaper, we have 100 newspaper or more. So this is why suddenly the same fact you cannot reproduce in every and each other newspaper or an other station or whatever. So journalists do not have the patience to wait for the facts to come or the events to develop.
Even though there's so much better communication today and instant communication.
Yes, but you have also the negative situation.
Right.
So therefore, they are, sometimes they are manipulating the events in order to get an event. And the most of the times when this is happening, people are getting killed and are getting hurt. And I'm asking myself, for example, in Lebanon, mm-hmm, before in August, it was the incident that the Lebanese army shot a high rank Israeli officer. When the officer and all the group have been into Israel border.
Within the borders.
Yes.
Of Israel, sorry.
Of Israel. Mm-hmm. And they did something that they usually are doing, cleaning out the trees, because behind the trees you can get
terrorists.
Mm-hmm. So this guy was shooted. So till here, it's a regular story. Only that suddenly you can see that you have had five journalists sitting there with photographers and waiting for the thing to come. So the meaning is somebody gave a hint to those journalists.
Right.
In the same time, are the journalists paying the price of kids which became orphans? Are the journalists paying the price of the widow?
I think you mean to say, are they responsible for the outcome?
No, I mean to say, would you want to be in the place of this officer? Would you like your own kids to become orphans because, mm-hmm, others wants to get news?
To get an event, to make news.
So this is a hard situation between morality, conscience, truth, fairness, values, and yes, human rights.
Right. I think that when you think of journalism as a profession, then it puts it on a different plane than when you think of these as people. People reporting about people and events that are happening to people and by people. And the question is this reporting good?
To whom?
To whom is it good, and what makes it good? Is it an event that's being manipulated for the sake of having the news? Or is it an actual event that occurred? And what are all these people doing in those places? And there are many instances where we know, and we will have Professor Landis on our show soon, and he will speak about Pallywood, for example. And this is media manipulation. This is almost like staging an event that, for the sake of the cameras, for the sake of the world, to produce a message that, whatever reason the message, but should journalists be almost as accomplices to putting forth a message that is for a cause or for somebody else? And I mean, what is their role, really?
And beside, when I'm listening to the news, I want to get my own opinion based on the facts and not your opinion, even if you are a very intelligent journalist and very, you know, with a great intellect, I think that it is for us to decide what we want to think, the way that we want to think, and if it's an opinion show, let us know. It is your opinion. This it will be fair.
Now, to just give ourselves a little pat on the back, I would like to just say that we are in the position right now of being, in essence, journalists in some manner of speaking. And
less than more.
we think and we prepare, and we really think a lot when we come to the show each week about how to present it, how to what we're going to say, because we want to be very careful about our morals and our ethics, and our, we're not trying to manipulate anything here except that we are trying to bring the good news about Israel.
Yes. No, and also it's not only to bring the news. We are bringing experts, which they are bringing their own expertise here. And usually those are people which are coming from the academia. And that's it. It's not...
Well, they are speaking about what they know, what they're expert
exactly.
in.
Exactly.
And, well, that's it. They're experts in their field. They're speaking for what they know.
Yes, and unfortunately, from what we understand today, unfortunately, the journalism became a place where you can put your own information, you can incline, you know, the opinion of others.
Influence the opinion.
Influence, absolutely. And I think that this is something that it's taking out all the proud that somebody can have from this beautiful and wonderful profession.
Right. I think that as we were questioning earlier, the status of the UN today, I think we need to group together the status of journalism.
Right.
And journalists, what are they doing? How are they influencing and impacting the outcome of a situation, an event, a policy, a political, whatever is going on? What is the influence of the UN? What is the influence of the journalists? What's going on here in the world today? We need to question and look again at our history, have a vision that's a moral vision, and check, and checks and balances, and just see if they're equaling out.
And speaking about morals, we will go to Parashat HaShavua.
Good idea.
Which is Parashat Lech Lecha, the portion of Lech Lecha.
This is from the book of Genesis, Bereshit. Right.
The opening words of the Parasha, Lech Lecha, are about a test. Avraham is required to leave his home and everything he knows, loves, and holds close. Although he doesn't know it, his reward will be a glorious future. God has promised that he will become a great nation and a source of blessing for all mankind. The last verse in Lech Lecha 22:2, the test of Akedah, the binding of Isaac, marked the seeming end of any future for Abraham and seems to be in contradiction to his life's work. On a personal level, he will be losing the son who was destined to be his spiritual heir. And on a global level, he will be offering a human sacrifice that was against all the moral values he now believed and taught. But the last test of Lech Lecha brings us full circle of the first test and ultimately brings the fulfillment of the rewards. And on a personal note, I wonder, what can one say about a person who is following exactly by what God says today? That it is commendable to go with your gut, with your belief, and to stay faithful to your own path.
Amen. And we are Rachel and
Sonia.
This is Israel is Real. Our theme song, Hinei Matov, is by Rachel. That's me. rachelmusic.com. We're on the air every Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. We will remind you again, we have an urgent need for donations, for contributions to stay on the air. We are community supported. That's by you. So please check our website at www.israelisraelnh.com. Israelisraelnh.com. We thank our guest, Alan West, and wish him the best for the coming election.
Shabbat.
Shalom.
WSMN in Nashua, New Hampshire. WSMN.